everybody doing? Doing good? Everybody go to work today? Do something? I went to work today myself, and does it sound right, Herman? Sound good? All right. When I got home this afternoon, I started reading Psalms 119. Everybody turn to Psalms 119. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe His testimonies, who seek Him with all their heart. You know, when I come in the afternoon and I'm tired, sometimes you don't feel like doing things, sometimes you do. I got a passion and desire to read God's Word. I got a passion and desire for God all day long. But it's when you open up His Word, like this afternoon, I was tired. And I just start reading those words, who seek Him with all their heart. And you start realizing how hungry you are when you start reading, how really hungry you are. And you just start weeping and crying. Just, thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. And you just keep reading. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in His ways. You have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments and just say, thank you, Father. And you really listen to His words as you're reading them, how much you really need His word, how much I really need to fill up, how much I really need to pay attention, and how He's kept me. And you just keep reading all the Psalms 119. He starts bringing everything to your remembrance. You're just saying, amen, amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And you realize how important it is to stay in tune to that relationship with Him as you just keep reading on. There's something about Psalms 119. When I wake up in the morning, I pray, I talk to the Father, I have my relationship, and I start listening to Psalms 119. And it just keeps bringing it all back. And just build. And just reading it over and listening to it over and over. Just something about it. I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart, in verse 7. When I learn your righteous judgments, I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. You think about your work day and all the things that you go through in a day's time. Your flesh calls you to wander a little bit. But His word keeps you safe, keeps you secure. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Oh, how much more is His word than all riches? Even the very food that you eat when you're hungry. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. And as you're reading, you start thinking about, man, how many times He rescued me. How many times I failed Him and He had mercy upon me and He loved me. His word constantly keeps me secure. Constantly kept me secure today. And it's going to constantly keep me secure tomorrow. Deal bountifully with your servant that I might live and keep your word. Right now, Father, deal with me, Father. Anything I've done today that I disregarded. I tried today. I remembered some things, but whatever I might have forgotten, I disobeyed you. I did something wrong. Please forgive me. Deal with me, because this causes me to live. Thank you, Father, for keeping me on the wheel. Thank you, Father, for constantly being the potter and bringing all the stuff out of me, the impurities that don't belong. I'm a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. Then this becomes a talking with the Father. It's a reading, but it's a talk. In a relationship, and a constant prayer, and you just do it over and over and over before it, you know, it becomes part of you in relationship with the Father, and it keeps you. It really does keep you. My soul is crushed with longing after your ordinances at all times. You rebuke the arrogant, the cursed, who wander from your commandments. Take away reproach and contempt from me, for I observe your testimonies. Even though princes sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. My soul cleaves to the dust. It does. It really does. We cleave to the dust. Revive me. Revive us according to your word. I have told of my ways. I think about that sometimes. I have told of my ways. I've done some incorrect things. I tell you my faults, my failures. I did some incorrect things. And you have answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so I will meditate on your wonders. And then I start thinking about all the day, everything I got to see in the day. His waters I got to ride upon today. His fish, people, treating others as I want them to treat me, with respect, loving them today. Words that would come from darkness and evil, but disregarding it and looking at the person with love. Just thinking about the Father and everything that He's done for us. And you get home, and you're tired, and you start forgetting things, and you read this, and it brings it all back to your memories. My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove the false way from me, and graciously grant me your law. I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may observe your law, and keep it with all my heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to dishonest gain. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity, and revive me in your ways. Establish your word to your servant, as that which produces reverence for you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your ordinances are good. And as you just keep reading this, you're just eating it up and just having that time with the Father. It is incredible. May your loving kindness also come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So I will have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I wait for your ordinances. So I will keep your law continually, forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings, and shall not be ashamed. I shall delight in your commandments, which I love, and I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Remember the word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me. There's so much power in this chapter. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me. The arrogant utterly deride me, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I have remembered your ordinances from old, O Lord, and comfort myself. Burning indignation has seized me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes are my songs and the house of my pilgrimage. O Lord, I remember your name in the night and keep your law. This has become mine, that I observe your precepts, his instructions. The Lord is my portion. I have promised to keep your words. I sought your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your word. I consider my ways and turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have encircled me, but have not forgotten your law. Notice, over and over and over, I have not forgotten your law. I have not forgotten your instructions. It's so important to remember his instructions. His instructions will keep us alive, keep us for the now, and keep us for the future. Verse 61, the cords of the wicked have encircled me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight I shall rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous ordinances. Reading that one, I said, Lord, you know, a while back ago, I was woken by a dream, and then I prayed to you and I talked to you, but it hasn't been a while since I got up at midnight. I'm sorry if I haven't talked to you at midnight. remind me, wake me up at midnight because I want to give you praise. The instructions, the word reminds you, constantly reminds you of the things that we need to take care of and do. I am a companion of all those who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth is full of your loving kindness. O Lord, teach me your statutes. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The arrogant have forged a lie against me. With all my heart, I will observe your precepts. Their heart is covered with fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Isn't it good that we get afflicted? We get afflicted so that we can see, where are we going in error? What do I need to adjust? What do I need to fix? Sometimes it's a bittersweet thing, but it's something that needs to be taken care of, that I may learn your statutes, to see what needs to be fixed in me to look more like his image and his likeness. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Your hands made me and fashioned me. Who made me and fashioned me? His hands did. And it's just over and over and over. It arrests you over and over. You read Psalms 119 every day. There's no way you can go astray. No way. It constantly reminds you and constantly builds you. God, you're so incredible. Your hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments, that I can know who I am and what I was created for, what I'm supposed to be doing, what part of the body am I? I don't know, but you do. Show me, teach me, lead me. May those who fear you see me and be glad because I wait for your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. And I can go on and on. We got three quarters of the way there. Maybe not that far. Maybe halfway. And it doesn't take that long to read through this. You'll blink your eyes and you'll be done with it. And you read it again. And you blink your eyes and you're done again. And you're so built up and strengthened in the Lord. And you realize the things that you need, the things that you might have missed. And you realize the things that were so great about the day. And that's what I did today. And it was incredible. Psalms 119. I did it this morning. I did it yesterday. You just read that and it's incredible. Now, after saying all that, just to open up a little bit, this is Bible study. So this is what I do. I can't give you anything that I haven't learned. I can't teach you and give to you this part of the body of something I haven't learned and done yet. So this is what I do. So I'm giving you what I do. And you share with me in your life that you live around here, this is the parts of the body, and help me grow in areas. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what we're learning, to live in unity and not in division. And so we're going to talk a little bit about unity and division tonight. But I'm going to open this up going to in Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. I know I've been talking a lot in Deuteronomy 28. I know Brother Josh brought it up. I brought it up. Many of us have brought it up. But it's just where the Lord has me. This is where I am. Every day, I'm reminded to go to Deuteronomy 28 because there is consequences to pay for our actions, for what we do. So all the day, I want to remember the consequences that me and my family is going to suffer because of my actions or what I do or what I perform according to His Word. We talked about the blessings already in here. We've talked about many times. I want to focus a little bit on some of the consequences again. I just want to get us focused on who we're supposed to be serving here. Who we're supposed to be living for. This is no joke. This is a real deal thing. He's God, and He's more than just... He is a loving God. But there is consequences to pay, and He will do it to us. He says He would do it. He did it to the children in Egypt, and it didn't just go for the Egyptians. It went for also the Israelites too. If they didn't do according to His word, they would lose their firstborn also. That was the consequence. Would God do something like that? Yes, He would. The Bible is full of it. There's consequences to pay for our actions. And so just reading a few of them, verse 15 and 28, but it shall come about if you do not obey the Lord your God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I charge you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground, the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. And the Lord will send upon you curses, confusion, rebuke, and all you undertake to do, and until you are destroyed, until you perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the pestilence cling to you until he has consumed you from the land where you are entering to possess it. The Lord will smite you with consumption and fever and inflammation and all these things. When you read them, it goes on and on about the things that can happen because we fail to obey his instructions, to reject his instructions. Sometimes we think it's not such a big thing. We're just going to cross the line, do it anyway. But do you know that our children can suffer? Our children can suffer. And when we're reading this, you also read in there, it says, in the land that you're going to possess. He wasn't just talking about everybody. He was talking about the Israelites. He was talking about his people. This is what I'm going to do to you if you disobey my instructions. He said it plain as day. This is what's going to happen to you. And many of them, it happened on the way there through the wilderness. Many of them fell out. Many. Many did. But there's consequences that we suffer. And I just want to share a little dream with you that I had a while back. It was probably about 2 weekends ago. It was on a Saturday night. It was probably about 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. I went to bed. And I had this little short dream. And in the dream, it was me and my two daughters. It was Mariana. And I'm telling you this dream because that next day on Sunday morning, Pastor shared some things about children. How many knows that God will do what he has to do to get your attention, to pay attention? And you know, like that message he shared that Sunday morning, you react quickly if something happens to your child or he or she disappears. You'll stay up all night, all day, all week, months, and years to find your child if you lose your child. With persistence, you look for your child. Our children are dear to us. Ones closest to us, our family members, are mean a lot to us. Because the minute something happens to somebody, cancer or sickness, it goes instantly on a prayer request. We care for them. It's the most immediate thing that we respond to on our agenda today. We stop doing what we're doing to respond to those things. So God will do what he has to do to get our attention. He got the Egyptians' attention, and he got the Israelites' attention for a little while. For a little while. But in this dream, I dreamed that me and my two daughters were sitting by a brook. And Mariana was sitting on a log, and I was standing up, and Casey was standing right before me. And in the dream, I had a BB gun. And I walked up to Casey, and I grabbed her by her arm. And I said, this isn't going to hurt. And I shot her with the BB gun in her arm. Plap! And in my mind, in the dream, I just stung her a little bit. And when I looked at Mariana's face in the dream, her eyes got really big. She goes, Daddy, look. And I looked at Casey's arm, and it was broken. And it was black and blue, and it was bleeding. And I grabbed the arm. I was like, oh, oh. And I looked at Mariana. She said, you did a bad thing. I was like, I didn't really mean to. It was just supposed to sting. And she's like, Daddy. And I started crying. I'm so sorry. I didn't really want to do that. I'm so sorry. And I started crying. And then the dream ended, and it woke me up. And instantly the Lord said, He ministered to me, and he says, do you want that to happen? I said, and I mean, I was arrested. I said, no, sir. You know what you tell your daddy whenever you get caught in something or something? Yeah, no, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I said, yes, sir. No, sir. Do you want that to happen? No, sir. And then he left me quiet thinking. He didn't say another thing, and I just laid there in the bed, and I thought about it. And I thought about the Egyptian. I thought about the Israelites. And I thought about the consequences. And I thought about Casey. And I said, man, it could happen. It could happen to the ones closest to us. And I came to church that morning with that on my mind. I got myself straight. I checked myself. I looked over everything. I made sure everything was in order. You know, you want to check yourself, especially when it comes to your children. I don't want nothing to happen to my Casey. But if I don't pay attention and do what I'm supposed to do, that could possibly happen. I think that dream was very significant. Because we got up here that morning, we had worship practice, we had the focus, say focus, then we had worship, and then right after worship, I'm still thinking about that. And Casey and all the little kids get up here, and I'm looking at Casey, and for a moment, I forgot about it. And she's up here singing, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. And the part, hide it under a bushel, no, I'm gonna let it shine. And then she got to the part, don't let Satan put it out. And I started crying. I ran to the bathroom. I was like, you know, they're close to you. You don't want it to happen to them. She's precious to me. But the Father says, if you don't pay attention and do what I'm telling you, things could happen. Because you let yourself in the open. It doesn't lie. It says, you can get struck by the arrows that fly by noonday. It's time to get this thing right. Pay attention. And I say, yes, sir. And then Pastor gets up here that morning. He talks about children. They're dearest to you. How persistent would you be if your children disappear? So we have consequences to pay for our actions. Consequences. They're written. It's in there. He's the loving God. Yes, He does bless. But there comes a time that we got to get this thing right. We got to get it in the road. And our time's running out. It's getting pretty short. So I've been really working on everything I have to work on in my life, paying attention, trying so hard. And I don't want to make no mistakes and cause my family to be hurt because of me. And it can happen. So I was arrested in that area. And so I'm still steady doing, probably like everybody else is doing, trying to make sure we're studying, digging up things. I appreciate the Lord letting us get up here and do the teachings. I really don't like getting up here and talking. But yet, at the same time, it helps discipline me to stay in my studies and work hard to pay attention to do the things that we're supposed to do. And everybody in the body, bring it to one another and help one another out. So in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 1 through 41, Deuteronomy chapter 32, give ear, O heavens, and let me speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as the droplets on the fresh grass, and as the showers of the herb. For I proclaim the name of the Lord, and ascribe greatness to our God, the Rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are just, a God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteous and upright is He. He makes no mistakes. They have acted corruptly towards Him. They are not His children because of their defect, but are a perverse and crooked generation. Do you thus repay the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is not He your Father who has bought you? He has made you and established you. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of all generations. Ask your father, and he will inform you, your elders, and they will tell you, when the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when He separated the sons of man, He set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel. For the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the allotment of His inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the howling waste of a wilderness. He encircled him, He cared for him, He guarded him as the pupil of His eye. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest that hovers over its young. He spread His wings and caught them. He carried them on His pinions. The Lord alone guided him, and there was no foreign god with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, and he and he ate the produce of the field, and he made him suck honey from the rock and oil from the flinty rock, curds of cows and milk of the flock with fat of lambs and rams, the breed of Bashan and goats, with the finest of the wheat, of the blood of grapes you drink wine. But Jerome grew fat and kicked. You are grown fat, thick, and sleek. Then he forsook God who made him and scorned the rock of his salvation. They made him jealous with strange gods. With abominations they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons who were not God, to gods whom they have not known, new gods who came lately, whom your fathers did not dread. You neglected the rock who begot you and forgot the God who gave you birth. The Lord saw this and spurned them. He spurned them because of the provocation of his sons and daughters. And then he said, I will hide my face from them. Here we go. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a perverse generation, sons in whom is no faithfulness. They have made me jealous with what is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols. So I will make them jealous with those who are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in my anger and burns to the lowest part of Sheol and consumes the earth with its yield and sets on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap misfortunes on them. I will use my arrows on them. They will be wasted by famine and consumed by plague and bitter destruction. And the teeth of beasts I will send upon them with the venom of crawling things of the dust. Outside the sword will bereave, and inside terror, both young man and virgin. The nursling with the man of the gray hair, I would have said, I will cut them to pieces. I will remove the memory of them from men. Had I not feared the provocation by the enemy, that the adversaries would misjudge, that they would say our hand is triumphant and the Lord has not done all this. For they are a nation lacking in counsel, and there is no understanding in them. Would that they were wise and that they would understand this, that they would discern their future. How could one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight unless their rock had sold them and the Lord had given them up? Indeed, their rock is not like our rock. Even our enemies themselves judge this. For their vine is from the vine of Sodom and from the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of poison, their clusters bitter. Their wine is venom of serpents and deadly poison of cobras. It is not laid up in store with me, sealed up in my... Is it not laid up in store with me, sealed up in my treasuries? Vengeance is mine, retribution in due time, their foot will slip. For the day of their calamity is near, and impending things are hastening upon them. For the Lord will vindicate his people and will have compassion on his servants. When he sees that their strength is gone, and there is none remaining, bond or free, and he will say, where are their gods? The rock in which they sought refuge? Who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offering? Let them rise up and help you. Let them be your hiding place. Now that I am he, and there is no God beside me, it is I who put to death and give life. I have wounded, and it is I who heal. Who puts to death and gives life? Think about that for a minute. Who wounds and who heals? There is no one who can deliver from my hand. No one. No one can be delivered. And there is no one who can deliver from my hand. He's in charge. He's it. Indeed, I lift up my hand to heaven and say, as I live forever, if I sharpen my flashing sword and my hand takes hold of justice, I will render I will render vengeance on my adversaries, and I will repay those who hate me. We could become an adversary. We could be utterly destroyed. Does God do that? Yes, he does. We got to pay attention and realize who we're serving, who we're honoring, who we're dealing with. Who are we dealing with? Seriously. Who are we dealing with? He's an incredible God. And he serves vengeance on those who deserve it and pays back to those who deserve it. And he will. I will make my arrows drunk with blood. And my sword will devour flesh with the blood of the slain and with the captives. And that's why I'm going to end it right there. But just to get an understanding of who we're dealing with here, who we're really serving. He's not a human, nor is he man, that he should lie. He's God. He's Yahweh. He's the one and only true God. I love waking up in the morning and going to my doorpost. I make it a habit. That's another thing that really gets me softened in my heart. Is when I go up there and I put my hand to the door and say, "Hear, Israel. Hear, Israel. The Lord our God is one." And we're to love your Father with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind. And you do this every day. It just becomes you. It just becomes you. And you have your relationship every day with him. So we have consequences to pay. And so getting into unity and division, for us to follow these instructions and follow along and be in unity and get out of division, God has sent somebody for us to follow and be that greater example. Because he went through everything and he made it through everything, so can we, right? So we read the instructions, we apply the instructions, we find ourselves crossing the line, we repent, we back up, we try it again and keep working on it until we get it right. If we keep rebelling and keep doing those things and keep disregarding it, those consequences can come upon us. We're going to go through a couple of short little scriptures here pertaining to unity and division. Psalms chapter 133. Psalms 133, start with just verse 1. "Behold, how good and how pleasant is it for brothers to dwell together in unity." That's an instruction. That's something that we're supposed to apply and perform. Okay? That's the first one. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 15. "But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another." That's another instruction. Division and unity. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 3. "Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace." Ephesians 4, verse 3. "Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Unity and peace. John chapter 17. And we're going to Gospels, John 17. We already know who we're going to be listening to. We're going to be listening to the words of the Messiah, listening to Yeshua. John 17:23. These are the words of Jesus. "I and them and you and me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me." Right? So "in them and in you and me, that they may be perfected in unity." Not division. division, remember, suffers consequences, right? It's opposite of what the instructions say. So there's some consequences I'm going to talk about in a little bit of us wanting to go in division rather than in unity. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 8. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Then we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3. Keeping away from strife is an honor for a man, but any fool will quarrel. Any fool will quarrel. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 24. No. Yeah. 2 Timothy. It's in 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:24. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged. Patient when wronged. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, and patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And we read that last verse already. And Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12-14. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Unity. So deliberately choosing to reject these instructions, I have two of these scriptures we need to read. Number one, in Proverbs 5, 22-23, you can turn there if you like, or you don't have to. Proverbs 5, 22-23, the iniquities of the wicked shall ensnare him, and he is held fast in the cords of his sin. He dies for lack of discipline, and because of his great folly, he is led astray. When we reject his word and choose to keep rebelling against his word, the cords of sin entangle us. These is like ropes that grab us and bind us down and put us into slavery of ourselves, because we refuse to follow the instructions of the Lord and stay in unity. We hold bitterness. We hold strife. We hold anger. We hold unforgiveness. Do unto others, remember the golden rule, as you would have them do unto us. So what we don't perform, that's what we get entangled and ensnared in, and it binds us down. Number two would be Psalms 119, verse 98. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. Harboring unforgiveness, holding grudges, pride makes one blind to the enemy's devices, blind to the fact that you do not see your own folly or error. There was a time me and Brother Herman went through our errors, and we tried every which way to push against each other to find that I was right or he was right. But it took a while of working in the Word and God pulling things and, I mean, tearing me in pieces to get me to realize, hey, Chad, hello, this whole time you're gone in error. You're not paying attention. Just like it says right here, you're blind to the fact that do you not see your own folly and your own error. And you finally realize it and you adjust it. And he just keeps working on you on the wheel. And working on you in the wheel, and it just keeps coming up and coming up and coming up until you finally realize it. And whatever God has to do, rather it's to warn you in a way that's something so precious to you. It could be your closest brother or sister. Well, however it has to happen of wrongs and things happening in your lives, it happens to find the things that are in us that need to come out. The impurities have to come out. Because in the kingdom, they will not have that in the kingdom. It's not the that's the order of the kingdom. The way we do the things wrong is not the order of the kingdom. His instructions is where the order of the kingdom is going to be. And so the more we practice this, live this out, the better we will be fit for the kingdom. And we won't have to hear those terrible words, I don't know you, away from me. You're not welcome in this kingdom. You won't perform the things of the kingdom. You won't act these things in the kingdom. What good do you want to be? What good would it be to come into a kingdom that you're not going to like? This is the order of the kingdom. There's instructions here right now till that comes. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19. Seven abominations God hates. Let me go to Proverbs. Go ahead and go to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. The last one I talked about was Psalms 119, verse 98. Verse 98 says, your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. It's the complete opposite when you say, it makes you blind to the fact that you do not see your own folly or error. Now, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. There are six things that which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes. And when I say haughty, you can go look up other translations. Use pride. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to do evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. And so I went and I studied the different translations and different meanings of different words. And this is what I come up with in Proverbs. It says, seven abominations God hates. Pride is one of them. I got out of it. Assumptions, when we assume things. Assumption is a heavy weight. You know that? Assumption is a terrible weight. There's things that people have told me about somebody, and I thought it was true, and I said it to somebody, and it was an assumption from somebody else, and before you know it, there's all there's discord. this discord that goes amongst the whole church and people and friends and family. It's almost like gossip, assumptions. When you assume something, you say something, and there's somebody else, and, oh, I can't believe, and there comes the weight. I can't believe he said, we'll do something, and there comes the weight. And then it starts building, and it starts getting heavy, and there's the leaven. We just got finished talking about the leaven. That has helped me out so much. Because when we get to those places what we're not supposed to be doing, and we get arrested in our heart about it, and it becomes a weight, you're like, dude. You automatically feel you, and I automatically respond to myself. I tell myself, Chad, leaven. Not God's leaven. Leaven. Don't take that weight. Don't do that. Don't get in that conversation with them people. Back up. Don't. Leaven. Leaven. Assumptions. Man, I wonder if so-and-so is really... Assumption? It's going to be a weight. You want it? Go ahead and carry it. Go ahead and bind yourself up and weigh yourself down. It's coming. Here it comes. What are you going to do? And you really don't know if that's true or not. It's an assumption. The enemy is about to sow a tear. When he sows a tear in the wheat, then you go sow it to something. And before you know it, you got gossip, you got things. And here it comes all over. And it says, assumptions, gossip, sowing discord among the brethren. We just got finished going to a little meeting the other day, and you know, pastor was talking to us. He said the number seven in Proverbs, and I went back and I looked at that, and I started thinking about that, and I started studying it and thinking about it in my life where I have these things. I do a lot of assuming when somebody doesn't show up, work, this, that, and you start assuming things that may not be true about that person. Here's a good example. The other day I was at the dock. And I was getting my boat ready, and pastor was doing some things, and he got a phone call. This is a prime example. And he's talking to somebody. I don't know who it is. And I'm sitting there working on something, and I got ear to the conversation. And so automatically I assumed it was somebody. And I'm like, yeah, man, that person never did call me yesterday. I'm thinking all these things, but it's an assumption. And I said, hey, who was that? That was Brother Brian. That was an assumption. That wasn't even the person I was thinking about. You see what I'm saying? The enemy comes there, and he whispers, and he gets you to start assuming things. And you don't even know if it's true. And before you know it, you got this weight you're carrying around, and it was for nothing. Nothing at all. You don't have no clue what's going on, and you're weighed down in your mind. I can't believe he or she would say or do or forget about me, or they would go without me. And you never even talk to the person. And you meet the next person, say, hey, how you doing? And they give you something that you didn't think they was going to give, and you feel like low as dirt. You know what I'm saying? So assumptions is real bad. Assumptions is terrible. And so God hates it. So much so that God hates these. This is a very important scripture we need to pay attention to. So much so because it's an abomination, and God hates it. Because it starts in one little spot and it goes throughout the whole body. And before you know it, the whole body's weighed down and you got discord. And this is what the enemy does. He sows a couple. We start assuming. And we do his job. He's sitting on the sidelines watching us sow his tares of destruction in our own bodies. And then so goes everything. Because we keep sowing it and sowing it and sowing. The enemy doesn't have to do anything. We make his job and his life easy, right? Unity and division. You got to study these things. Do unto others. It's a golden rule. I've been listening. I've been thinking about that one every day. Every day. It helps me. The way I'm going to treat these customers today. Yes, sir. No, sir. They tell me something I don't like. Yes, sir. That's what you're going to get in return. What is the rules in the Bible? It's instruction. It says, you reap what you sow. What you put out, that's what you get in return. What you put out, and do unto others, if you have to do unto them. Do not repay evil with evil. You repay the evil, you just bought into what they're caught in, and you get ensnared. Just like it says in Proverbs, you get ensnared and weighed back down. It's just like a virus. It goes all over the place. Let's see. James chapter 1, verse 21. James chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. How we're going to get our souls saved? How we're going to stay with life? How we're going to keep the weight off? Just like he says, the implanted word of God. Psalms 119, the whole chapter. In the morning, in the evening. And you feel like you're okay? Read it anyway. I assure you, you'll find out in some areas where you was weak in. Okay? Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. And in all of these that we do, it causes us to walk humbly with our God. We stay that constant, oh, that constant relationship with Him is so important. Man, all week long I've had a busy work week. I've been so busy, and I'm thinking about, oh, it's going to be my turn. It's going to be my turn. I really want to do some slides. He didn't give me no time for slides. I was like, okay, I got to keep studying. So I'd study. And he said, Chad, just do what you're doing. Just use what you got, what you know. And so I just jotted it down and went over what I've been learning and what I've been growing in. And that's all I can give. And this is what I get. And this is what I give. And so that's what I'm doing. And before I come here, I'm like, that's the flesh. The flesh goes crazy. It gets panicky. It gets nervous. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to listen to you. I'm just going to listen to you. It's going to be fine. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 17 through 19. I'm just going to read this one. Paul and the following directives, I have no praise for you. For your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. We got to get it all together, and it all comes about, and it's all going to bubble up. So if anybody thinks they're in their little corner and they're safe, you're not safe. You're going to be shown. You're going to be pulled out. Sooner or later, it's got to come about. Ain't nobody going to hide and get away with nothing and hold it in the corner. It's all going to be brought to light. God exposes everything. There's nothing that can be hidden. It's all going to be exposed. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 20 through 28. But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. All the members rejoice with it. So with all that being said, as the body and coming together in the end, if one member suffers, then all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, and all members rejoice with it. All the body, like Brother Nathaniel was talking about the other day, about the body, The body as a whole, we need to be thankful, like I said earlier, about the wheel. Be thankful that we're put on the wheel. I know the wheel is bittersweet. Nobody likes the wheel. Nobody likes the process. In the body, in order for us to come together and to really care for one another, all the impurities have to come out. All the things have to come out on the wheel. It is bittersweet. The sweet part of it is afterwards you get this closeness to God, you get this closeness to your brothers and your sisters, and you know, not just talking about this part of the body. I'm talking about the part of the body all over. I was talking to Pastor the other day about, you know, how we get a lot of information through Anthony Buzzard in that part of the body. And we get a lot of information through 119 Ministries in that part of the body. And we get a lot of information through, the Messianic Jews and all the different parts of the body. And I know there's parts of the body that whenever I started learning this, I'm like, man, why they got this right, but yet they got this doctrine or that doctrine. And then I just wanted to shoo that away and shoo that away. But then when you read this, you're like, wait a minute. They got some important information. I just can't throw this body away. Even though they're in error in one part, maybe they may not see it yet. I may not see the whole picture that God sees, but we just can't throw them away. We got to take that part of the body and take the information, take the clues and all the different things and the evidence that they've come up with and study and look at it and say, wow. Thank you, brother, with 119 Ministries. Look what you shared with me that I got to teach in unity and division. That's some of the stuff that I got from this stuff was scriptures from 119 Ministries. There's some things that come across there like it doesn't line up with that, but I don't throw them away, right? And the worstest thing to do is to quarrel. The Bible says not to quarrel, not to have disputes. It would be better to just love one another and take what each other's got, and if they're wrong, don't punch them in the mouth for it. Just keep working it through by loving and sharing and being. Look at Koinonia. That was incredible. Look at all the parts of the body that come here, right? All the love and all the work that we put together. And I know all of us have differences. Facebook proved a bunch of that stuff. There was a lot of stuff that went on in the past. But look, we're working together. We're trying hard. God never did say throw anything away. He said keep working together in unity. He's highly against the division part, though. So we apply these instructions to the relationship to prove our worth as a citizen in the Father's future kingdom, right? And another thing I'd like to share. You know, a lot of times in the past, and I know we've kind of veered away from that a lot, every time we get into some troubles, we always want to have a meeting with our pastors, a meeting. And what he gets up here, what they do, is try and show us to do what Jesus showed us to do. Go to the Father and listen to the Spirit. Grow by listening to the Spirit, right? That's what he tells us to do. The one thing that God wanted, when we talked about in Deuteronomy, no, it wasn't Deuteronomy, but when they went to the mountain, God was expecting them to come to him in a relationship, right? Well, they don't want him, they want Moses. They want an idol. We can't make Pastor Jesse and Charlotte our idols. They're our overseers. They're our leaders. They're overseers and leading us to do what the body's supposed to do by listening to the Spirit and getting it right and correcting ourselves, having that relationship with our Father. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We get our relationship right with our Father, walking in the Spirit, listening to the Father, and knocking off all the things that don't belong in all the parts of the body, and obeying His instructions, and it all comes together. So let's not forget the golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's a lot of them all summed up into one, and that's what Jesus said. That's what the Messiah said we got to do, and it puts them all. That brings them all back to my remembrance when I say that, you know. Like I said, when I was working on the boat today, do unto others, and all the other ones come up. You remember all the other ones when you say that one. It's the golden rule, right? Okay, so that's the end of my study tonight. I hope it's helped anybody. Anybody else got something you want to share with me? You can call me. meet me, whatever. I just love everybody, and everybody is part of the body, and I want to be connected with everybody. All right? Got anything? All righty.